Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we talk about the weekend that was. We take some time to dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give us all something to think about as the week unfolds, but we also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, this week at Charlestown Road, at least the church building, we've got some construction going on.
We do. We're getting ready to add on, and our listeners may hear a little banging in the background as we're talking here.
It's not either one of us banging our heads on the table.
Not yet. And it's an exciting time. You know, growth brings problems, and one of the problems is space. But that's a great problem to have, and so we're expanding, and it's just a wonderful time for us.
We appreciate you taking the time to listen, and if you hear those bumps in the background, just hang with us. They might last for a couple of weeks, but we trust that it's all going to be worth it. This is our opportunity here in the middle of the week to, in the first part of our episode, take a look back at this past Sunday morning. I had the privilege of preaching on love, seeing love as God sees love. We're taking the time to do a variety of different exercises like that here in 2020 because, as our theme says, we want to see as God sees, and this world is very confused about love.
Getting that godly perspective is so important. We see things from our point of the world, our point of the universe, but oftentimes it doesn't match the biblical view. And so we've been looking at a lot of different topics along this line, and the subject of love, it's the basis of movies, it's the basis of so many songs, and to understand love from the biblical standpoint is essential for us. One of the great things that came out of this good lesson that Jason presented to us, we remind ourselves that when the Lord was asked what is the greatest commandment of all the commandments, he said it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And when we hear the word love, we have a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different definitions go through our minds. Oftentimes we just think of a feeling, or sometimes we think of an emotion. And we think of maybe a chick flick movie and a love story and things like that. And that is a basis of love. But as we look at it from the biblical perspective, God so loved the world, that John 3:16 passage, we're going to see that this kind of love is a different type of love. This love is based upon a choice. It's a action. It does something. And it's one directional. It's not based upon the response of the other person. God loved us when we were not lovable. And so he didn't wait till we became good to love us. He loved us even though we were not good. A great place to look at that would be in Romans chapter 5. And there in verse 8, Paul says, "But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And there's two thoughts that kind of pull out of that I think is really interesting. First of all, God loved us when we were at our worst, while we were yet sinners. He didn't start loving us when we started going to church. He didn't love us when we repented. He loved us before that. But then the other thing this verse brings out to us is that God showed his love. God demonstrated his love. He proved his love by sending Jesus. So love in the Bible is an action word. And so it's more than just my heart beats real fast when you walk by. It's more than just holding hands and moonlight and candlelight dinners. Here is a choice that's based upon what God wants us to do. And then as we stretch this today and kind of talk about some of these things, one of the most difficult passages that comes to our mind is when the Lord tells us to love our enemies. Boy, that's tough. How do I love somebody that doesn't love me? How do I love somebody when they're just not being nice to me? And involved with all this sometimes is that mixed definition. We get the idea that I'm supposed to have a feeling for this person. Who is my enemy? I'm supposed to have emotions toward this person. Who is my enemy? And as we kind of look at this today, we hope to kind of help you as we think about that concept.
You mentioned Romans chapter 5. There are a number of places in the New Testament where we are told one way or another, God loved us. Jesus loved us. And then it tells us exactly what they did. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is a great one. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Or Ephesians 5, verse 2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Love, as you've already said, is an action. It's a behavior. It's a choice. And what I love about that Ephesians 5 passage is not only are we told Christ loved us, he gave himself up for us, but we are being called to be imitators of God as beloved children. That involves, of course, being an imitator of God when it comes to someone who I find lovable. But as Jesus said very close to the beginning of his ministry, even our enemies.
So in your sermon, Jason, you went to 1 Corinthians 13. And that really is the definition of what love is. As God loves us, this is what it looks like. Let me read this, and then I want to kind of pull some layers off of this that's important for us to see. So in 1 Corinthians 13, and begin verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, in the old King James Version, instead of the word love, the word charity is used. And we understand what charity is. It's a gift. You give it to somebody. When you give somebody a present, you don't stand there with your hands out expecting something back. That's not charity. So when that word is used, or the word love, it's a one-directional type of love. What's also another layer we find in this 1 Corinthians passage is this is always demonstrated toward other people. Love is patient. Patient where? With other people. Love is kind. Well, we don't show kindness to ourselves. We show kindness to other people. Is not jealous. Does not brag. All of this involves relationships. And so what the apostle here is bringing out to us is this idea that love, as you follow Jesus Christ, is going to be shown in how you behave, how you act, and how you're around other people. That kind of love is how God loves us.
It is rooted in how God has shown us his grace. We heard Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. At the end of my sermon, I went back and I used that example of Paul writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he frames this entire thing in God's grace. God has shown us grace when we did not deserve it. God shed his grace on us when we were his declared enemies. And now we're being called to be imitators of that as beloved children. And so it is not that I wait until I feel like you deserve my love. It's not that I wait until, you know, I'm having a good day. I find you more than tolerable today. Therefore, I will be loving to you. It is day by day a choice that I have to make each day that no matter what you do, I'm going to be kind. No matter what you do, I'm going to be patient. Even if you choose to treat me in the exact opposite way, children of God, disciples of Jesus, remember first and foremost how our Heavenly Father has treated us.
And by saying that, God is saying that that is capable of us. I've heard folks saying, well, I just cannot love this person. Yes, you can. It's a choice. You can, because God shows us that we can. God shows us with us how he can love us. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, this well could be called the love chapter, because over 25 times the expression of the word love is used in here. And one of the statements he says here in 1 John 4 verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the definition of love is God. That's what God did. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God loves us when we're not lovable. The patience of God, the long-suffering of God, the blessings of God, the goodness of God, those are all wrapped around this concept of how God is to us. Later on in this same chapter here, 1 John chapter 4, he would say in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Again, there's that choice, the choice of God to love us. And then just a bit earlier, he would say in verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And again, that takes us back to putting this on the street and putting this in our lives, putting this in our home, that we are to love even when it's difficult to do those things.
So let's think from the standpoint, okay, I hear God is love. I hear that his grace has been shown to me even when I do not deserve it. I hear that I'm called to be an imitator of God. I can go back and I can read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see exactly what love is and what love does. Maybe it would be worth spending a few minutes thinking, all right, there's someone at work or at school, maybe a member even of my own family, that really does not seem to be interested in having a close relationship with me right now. Every time I try and connect with them or show kindness or patience to them, I get the exact opposite of that. How can I practically show love to someone who isn't interested in a relationship of love?
First of all, you know, as we've been saying and trying to define this word, it's not an emotion. It's not all of a sudden because God says this in his Bible that I'm going to have great feelings for someone I cannot stand, okay? But what it's going to show is that I wish well for this person. So here's this coworker at work, toxic, rude, arrogant, only talking about themselves, loud, interrupts, has no concern for me. But there comes a need. What am I going to do? I'm going to step in and take care. I'm going to do what I can. It may be bringing some food to help that person. It may be going to the funeral home because of someone her family has died. I'm going to do what's right, even though it's difficult to do those things.
As much as it depends on me, I'm going to try and be a maker of peace. I love those closing verses of Romans chapter 12, where the context begins in verse 9 with the call to let your love be genuine. And then Paul, as he so often does, begins to give us some practical offshoots of that. If it's evil, abhor it. Don't flirt with evil. Don't be a promoter of evil or repay evil for evil. You hold fast what is good. If you're going to outdo someone, outdo them in the showing of honor. They are created in the image of God just as surely as any of us are. He gets really specific in verse 14 when he says, the people who persecute you, bless them. There exactly is what we're talking about. When the Bible talks about love, it's not a feeling that happens to me. Every fiber of my physical being may feel like doing the exact opposite of blessing them. But by the grace that has been shown to me, I'm being called to to do something, to act, to behave in a certain way. Bless those who persecute you. Don't be haughty. Never avenge yourselves. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do something. Behave in a certain way. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And the context concludes with, don't be overcome by evil. You overcome evil with good. Love is a purpose. It's a choice. Maybe sometimes I feel like it. Maybe sometimes I don't. But as you've said a few minutes ago, it's the choice to act in a way that is going to try and bring about the well-being even of someone who isn't putting love back in my direction.
And I would encourage you to pray, to say the person's name to God. Before you walk into that office building, before you walk into that schoolroom, there may be someone there that is just really getting on you, and it's going to be a difficult being around them. You want to do what's right. Well, before you enter that room, before you enter that office building, you're saying their name to God. You're saying that maybe their eyes will be open. You're asking God to put the right words in your mouth that will help you lead these people to the right direction, to put thoughts in your mind that will help you be what God wants you to be. And above all things, just to pray, God, help me to love this person.
A lot of disciples of Jesus have a lot of serious questions on this front. I get asked a lot about this, and I'm never offended by that. I take those questions as a disciple wrestling with a heart that wants to do good. One of the things that I always try and make sure people understand is there's a difference between forgiveness that's rooted in love and reconciliation. Reconciliation may not always be a possibility. Reconciliation takes two. Forgiveness takes one. Regardless of what that person is choosing to do or how they're choosing to live, I can choose forgiveness as God has forgiven me. Maybe reconciliation is a long way off. Maybe it never gets back to the way that it was, but that doesn't change the calling of each disciple of Jesus to be patient, to be kind, to avoid envy and boasting and arrogance and all of those things. Roger, I've heard you say before, one of your favorite things to do with 1 Corinthians 13 is insert a name.
Let's go back and read this. We read it earlier in our podcast here, where 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, kind of driving those thoughts there. But how interesting to look at this is when you take out the word love and you put in the name Jesus. Jesus is patient. Well, we can stop there, can't we? Just look at ourselves. He's been patient with us. Jesus is kind and is not jealous. Jesus does not brag and is not arrogant. Jesus does not act unbecomingly. Jesus does not seek its own. Jesus is not provoked. Jesus does not take an account of wrong suffered. Jesus does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. And if we could add another statement there, we would say Jesus is all things. But how that just kind of changes the tone of this when we look at that. And when you put the name Jesus behind there, you could just put multitude of verses that would support that and would teach that same thing.
And by God's design, the way this slowly connects with us is, can I put my name in 1 Corinthians 13 the way that you have Jesus? That's the call in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. God is love. God has taught us what love is. He has shown us the face of love in Jesus. And now you and I and everyone listening to this episode and every disciple of Jesus is called to grow and mature to be able to put my name in that list.
So this coming week, I get the honor of preaching on Sunday morning. And again, we are continuing with this yearly theme, seeing as God sees, to get that heavenly perspective. We're going to talk about what is important to God. We're going to title this Top of the List. There's lots of things that is important to us, lots of things to get done. And when what we call important is not what God calls important, we get things scrambled up sometimes. And we're going to look at some passages that kind of talk about that. But we're going to end by just looking at a few things that God considers to be important. Do I see that as being important as well?
We're working hard to just show in a variety of ways in the sermons, Bible classes that you can watch online. All of the sermon on love from this past Sunday, you can go and you can freely watch that on the website. Bible classes, we're working hard to try and show what God has revealed to us, and that if we will grow to see as He sees, life is so much simpler, so much more pleasant, so much more abundant, so much more full of purpose. God's way is the best way, and we begin living His way when we come to see as He sees. It's a great theme, and we hope that you, through our daily Bible reading, through this podcast, through all sorts of resources on the website, are beginning to see even more clearly in 2020 than you did in 2019 or at any point before. Thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for your ongoing encouragement. We really, really appreciate it. Roger, thank you for joining me today. We're already looking forward to Sunday. We would love to see you in person on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. We have Bible classes for all ages at approximately 10:45 a.m., about 10 minutes after our morning service concludes. We say around here it is the best day of the week. We're looking forward to it. We hope you are as well. We hope you have a great day in the service of our great God.